Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Companies to watch.
We are now going to look at real estate investment trusts, or REITs, which have suffered a tumultuous year in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, so our next company, Singapore's first healthcare real estate investment trust, was no exception. First REIT invests in a portfolio of diversified healthcare assets in Indonesia, Singapore, and South Korea.
For its fiscal year 2020, its distributable income plunged 51% year-on-year to 33.4 million Sing dollars, and its distribution per unit plunged 52% year-on-year.
But on Tuesday, unit holders of First REIT voted overwhelmingly in favor of a proposed restructuring of Lippo Karawaci master lease agreements.
In the fiscal year 2019, Lippo Karawaci contributed 72% of First REIT income. So what are some of the most important changes that investors should take note of from this restructuring?
And can the REIT see a recovery this year, or should investors throw in the towel? Let's find out more from Royston Yang, senior analyst at The Smart Investor. Royston, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, hi. I'm good, thanks.
Well, let's talk about this First REIT, right? Could you help us by giving us some context? You know, why are they facing financial difficulties?
Okay, well, as mentioned, the hospitals that are First REIT are owned, 16 of them, in fact, are operated by PT Siloam. So PT Siloam is actually a subsidiary of Lippo Karawaci. And Lippo Karawaci itself is facing financial difficulties. So that's the reason why there's stress on these 16 hospitals, and then Lippo Karawaci requires a restructuring of the master lease agreements. So the problem is these 16 hospitals make up 72% of First REIT's rental income. So then the First REIT, of course, faces financial problems because 72% of this income may disappear for them.
Okay, so earlier this week then, First REIT unit holders voted overwhelmingly in favour of the proposed restructuring of the Lippo Karawaci master lease agreements. And now you've put it in context, it sort of makes sense. As well as the whitewash resolution waiving the right to receive a takeover offer from First REIT's substantial shareholder, OE. Can you just talk us through the restructuring of the deal and how it works?
Okay, sure. So the restructuring basically alters the base rent. So originally, the base rent was higher. It was adjusted down about 30 to 40% for 14 out of 16 of the hospitals. And they also adjusted the base rent escalation. So previously, the maximum escalation was kept at 2% per annum. But now it has been increased to 4.5% to compensate unit holders for the downward decrease in the base rent. And then there's also a third component, which is the performance-based rent. So this used to be a fixed amount for all the hospitals, but now it's been converted to 8% of their preceding year's hospital's gross operating revenue. So the good thing is that for unit holders, there's upside for them if the hospitals do well, because then they'll receive the higher of the performance-based rent or the base rent.
Okay, but were there any other options that could have been taken when you consider that Lippo Karawaci is over 72% of First REIT's business?
Actually, the problem here, I guess, is that the assets were very specialized.
Okay.
In the sense that First REIT tried to sell the hospital assets, but the problem was that they could not do so because the hospitals were master leased to Lippo Karawaci. And so they're actually under license by the government. So it's actually very difficult for them to find an alternative for a tenant. It's not like industrial properties where you can take an update, you can just get another tenant in. It's different for hospitals.
Okay, we're speaking to Royston Yang, senior analyst at The Smart Investor, and the subject is First REIT and this restructuring. Let's just talk then about these changes. What should investors be taking note of?
Okay, so the changes basically mean that they'll probably be getting lower distributable income because now the base rent is lower and the hospitals are still under stress. So that's the first thing to take note of. So then that means that the distribution per unit that unit holders receive will also be lower. But right now, it's very difficult to compute how much it will be because there's been a rights issue. And also, there are other factors to consider as well because there may be expenses here and there. The second thing to take note of is that the base rent actually will be computed in Indonesian rupiah. Previously, it's actually calculated in Sing dollars. So then, unit holders will also be exposed to currency risk in this case.
Right, okay. So First REIT has about $400 million in debts. We talked about that briefly. $196.6 million is due in a couple of months, March the 1st, mm-hmm. if I'm not wrong. So, you know, given all this information that you've shared with us, how does the company plan to repay its upcoming debt? Because that obviously is another issue.
Okay, so what happened was, of the $400 million that's come due, the banks have actually agreed to refinance $260 million of the debt. But on the condition that First REIT undertakes a rights issue to raise the remaining $140 million, which is what they've done. That's the reason why the EGM was called.
Okay.
So they have to ensure that the majority shareholder does not make a general offer for the REIT. That's the reason for the whitewash waiver. And now that it has been approved, the REIT can then proceed with the rights to raise the remainder. So actually, now that this has happened, I think it's pretty safe for the REIT to carry on, because there's quite a low risk of it defaulting on its loans.
That was what I was going to ask, if there was any risk. But okay, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for sharing that.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess that's really very reassuring. So look, if you're a unit holder of First REIT, what do you do?
Okay, well, I mean, there are a few options for you. If you're really unhappy with this deal, because you feel that, you know, the rights issue might dilute you substantially, and you don't want to throw in more money, you can actually choose to sell your rights entitlement in the market, because it's a renounceable rights issue. But you can, if you're unhappy with the whole thing, you can also choose to sell your shares and your rights as well, and just move on to another investment. Or, I mean, the third option is you could just hold on to your shares, because now that First REIT has stabilized its income, I think it can still, moving forward, carry on paying dividends. It's just that we don't know the level of dividends at this point.
Okay, a couple of options for you to take. But in terms of an outlook for the year, First REIT for this year at least, what are the chances of recovery?
Okay, I think it might be a bit tough for First REIT this year, because for Indonesia, it's still coping with the COVID-19 pandemic. I think the situation has not really stabilized yet in the country. So the hospitals are likely to continue to remain under pressure. So most likely, assuming everything goes well and Indonesia gets the pandemic under control, probably we can see some nascent recovery in 2022 onwards. And even then, you also need to see the status of Lippo Karawaci, because it itself is facing financial issues. So, I mean, if it faces more financial stress, then they may have further implications for First REIT as well.
Yeah, and I guess the big question, Royston, is that, you know, with vaccine rollouts and things like this, and high hopes for how we're all going to handle this pandemic, whether it's Indonesia, Singapore, wherever, what's the outlook really for REITs come 2021?
Okay, actually for 2021, we believe that REITs as a whole make a recovery, because actually there are vaccines being distributed around the world. So we think in general there will be a recovery, although right now many countries are still trying to control the pandemic. If you look at, like, for example, retail REITs, the worst is probably over now for most of them, because Singapore has moved on from the circuit breaker period, but now in phase three, even though there's still some community cases. So I think a lot of the retail malls should see higher footfall and better business. Yeah. See, industrial REITs have done pretty well, even in 2020. They are actually one of the only subclasses of REITs that have actually done pretty well, and I think they'll continue to do well. In fact, they have even made acquisitions last year, which should flow through to this year. The only ones that probably will not do so well this year are the hospitality REITs, because of lockdowns, you know, air travel is still curtailed, and there are also border closures. So that's probably the only sector that we will not do well. I think the rest will do fairly well.
Yeah. Okay, a little bit more than a partial recovery. Royston Young, senior analyst at The Smart Investor, speaking with us on Companies to Watch. Royston, appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. Thanks.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.